The old-fashioned phone call made a bit of a comeback during the pandemic. That is because it allowed patients to have a medical appointment with their doctors. Regular telehealth rules were temporarily suspended, allowing those without smartphones or internet connections to access care that way. Now, as states consider bringing back their pre-pandemic telehealth restrictions, there's debate over whether audio-only care ought to remain an option. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
Caswell County, where William Crumpton works, runs along the northern border of North Carolina, a rural landscape of former tobacco farms and the occasional fast food restaurant.
There are wide areas where cell phone signals are just non-existent. So things like satellite radio are even a challenge.
Crumpton, who grew up there, is CEO of Compassion Health, a federally funded community health center. The county has no hospital, no emergency room. During lockdown, half their patients could only be reached the old-fashioned way.
We have individuals who live in homes that wouldn't be able to make a cell phone call if they wanted to. High-speed internet is not available to them. Furthermore, the only connection that they have to the outside world, in some cases, is a rotary dial phone.
So when state and federal governments eased privacy and security restrictions on telehealth, that allowed patients to get diagnoses and treatment over phones without video functions. That proved especially critical for people who are poor, elderly, or live in remote areas. Gail Grinnis, a patient at Compassion Health, says her community fits that bill.
There's a lot of people who don't have transportation.
For them, healthcare usually means calling 911.
It's people running out of medication, things like that, or people who haven't seen a doctor in a long time.
Being able to do that over a phone?
It's a blessing for a lot of, especially elderly people.
It's been a blessing for Grinnis, too. She's 71, diabetic, and skin and vascular conditions make it hard for her to walk. She also relies on 15 different medications. So the ability to meet with her doctor by phone was critical.
Otherwise, I don't know, I might be dead by now.
Today, the rules are rapidly shifting. To date, about half of states have passed measures keeping audio-only telehealth in place after the public health emergency ends. Without legislation, old restrictions governing telehealth kick back in for the remaining states. Meanwhile, insurance coverage is also in flux. Medicare says it will cover audio-only visits for mental and behavioral health treatment through 2023, but some private insurers have stopped reimbursing coverage for audio-only care. The crux of the debate over audio-only care is this. It's a low-tech way to reach more people. But is it also safe and effective? The pandemic changed the way Krista Drobeck views the trade-offs. She's executive director of the advocacy group Alliance for Connected Care.
Prior to the pandemic, I thought of audio only as a quality issue. Now I think of it as an equity issue. It really does expand access for patients to providers that they would otherwise not be able to see.
But Nidal Mukadam sees it very differently.
The phone thing was horrible, horrible.
She's a doctor at Baylor College of Medicine and is a member of Physicians for Patient Protection.
Audio only did not give us connection to the patient. Those who were contacted as new patients by phone only were lost to follow-up at more than 90%. Whereas those that were contacted in person or with picture actually came for their follow-ups at better rates.
She says relying only on someone's voice means she can't see tremors or skin discoloration or smell alcohol on someone's breath.
The problem is that it kills medicine. You cannot do stuff without a physical exam.
Mukadam, who is a psychiatrist, says doing therapy by phone has led to all kinds of problems.
Sometimes people will take calls from random places like the supermarket or their bathroom or they're driving, so they're not fully engaged.
Telehealth has grown more than 30-fold since the pandemic, not just for therapy and mental health, but also for treating physical conditions. That's a mixed bag for people like Rahul Shah, an orthopedist in southern New Jersey. On one hand, he says he loves the ability to conference call patients with their family members, but he also hears about patients who meet their surgeons for the first time in the operating room.
That's scary. Like, think about the risk that that doctor is taking by never laying hands on that patient before. I mean, that's mind-boggling.
And would have never happened prior to the pandemic. Shaw says there's no perfect substitute for in-person visits.
I saw a guy today. He had low back pain, leg discomfort, and had weakness in his ankle. And he came in with an X-ray and an MRI scan and a nerve test that said, it's all at this area in the low back.
But when the man stumbled out of his chair, Shaw suspected another culprit, so he ordered a different MRI.
Lo and behold, it turns out that the gentleman had evidence of significant problems within his neck. If I hadn't seen him get out of the chair, I would have missed this whole line of questioning.
So far, New Jersey has not passed a law extending audio-only services past the public health emergency. But across the country, the legal landscape is shifting quickly. There are about 1,000 telehealth-related proposals pending before state and federal legislatures. Courtney Joslin is a resident fellow at the R Street Institute, a free market think tank.
There's so much uncertainty, right, about what's going to be made permanent or what's going to go back to the way things were. Now, a lot of providers are, you know, even hospitals are like, well, should we invest in the infrastructure for this? Like, is our state going to continue to allow this or not?
And that leaves many patients and their doctors in limbo. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.